That is why we're here today, to worship and to connect with the God of the universe. I hope you did this morning through our singing, and I hope that God is already ministering to you. Thank you for being here. It is great to see you. Good morning.
Morning.
All right, very good. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, as we're going to be looking at a passage today that is going to help us on how we should start and how we live, new and improved. What would your life look like if you ask better questions? Have you ever done something stupid? I mean, like really dumb. Yeah? What would happen if you would have asked better questions before you did it? What would happen? Probably wouldn't have done it, right? I remember when I was a kid, we pulled the trampoline over to next to the house. And we had this bright idea to jump off the house onto the trampoline. And I mean, that sounds like a great idea. I have two younger brothers. We had several other kids in the neighborhood. And so we get over there and I jump off and we bounce really high. I mean, you hit it hard and you bounced off and we laughed at each other and had a lot of fun. And then we started getting a little bit brave. And then we said, oh, you know what we should try? And then we started doing little tricks. So it started off real simple. You jump off and you just kind of do a little turn and you're like, yeah, I nailed it. I mean, you just got it. And then we got a little bit more brave and we said, hey, we need to do a flip. Now, it would have been nice if somebody would have said, that's probably a dumb idea. But nobody did. Everybody was like, yeah, we should do it. So we started doing flips. And so we did a flip off. And then, you know, you hit it really hard. And we weren't in gymnastics or anything like that. So you ended up falling into the springs. And we laughed at each other. We'd fall off. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And then there was this bright idea. I'm going to try two flips. Now, I have never done two flips in my entire life. So why on that day I decided that I could do two flips, I have no idea. And I even told my brothers, told everybody, and told them what we're going to do. And they're like, go for it. I mean, nobody said that's done. Everybody was back there, yeah, do it, go. And so I did the flip, the one flip. And I remember in the middle of the air going, this is easy. I got this. And then I got that second one. And I didn't even get halfway around. And I ended up landing right on my neck and my head. And my knees hit me right in the face. I wasn't that limber anyway. But anyway, it hurt. And then I laid there with the air knocked out of my breath, and I'm sitting there, and my brothers and everybody else, they were laughing as hard as they could, and I couldn't breathe, I couldn't move, I thought I was paralyzed, I thought I was dead, and I didn't know what was going to happen, I was like, ugh, and then the thought goes through my mind, don't tell mom and dad. If you would have asked better questions, I wouldn't have been in that situation, if I would have asked better questions. If we would ask better questions, it would change our lives completely. Ephesians chapter 5, you have your Bibles, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Ephesians chapter 5, go down to verse 15 and look what it says. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the incredible songs to be able to sing and to lift your name on high. Now, as we get into this moment, God, I know that your Spirit has already touched us and already moved in our hearts. And now I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to your words. I pray your Holy Spirit would move and speak through me. And God, I pray that you would open our ears so that we hear exactly what we need to hear today. God, we want to hear from you. That's why we're here. We wanted to praise you, and now we want to hear from you. So, God, we give you this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. All right, so Paul's going to help us out. Paul is an incredible writer. He's very gifted in his theology, and then he brings his theology right into practical living. And so what he's going to do for us is he's going to give us three simple concepts. They're not complicated. It's really easy today. You should be able to remember these as you walk out. But these three simple principles would help us to actually live wisely by asking great questions. You ready? So here we go. Verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk. The idea of walk is the journey, the path that you're on. It's the daily living. And he says, be careful. Your very first point is this. Be careful. You want to make wise decisions, you want to do better, you want to ask better questions, you need to be careful. Now, be careful is this idea of extreme detail. It's can't live carelessly, live as wise, look, observe, examine with the highest of scrutiny, investigate with paying attention to the smallest of detail. Now, how many of you would say that is you? Every day, throughout the day, it's just a scrutiny of every detail, every decision you ever make. You always have to think through everything. Most of us don't have that type of personality. Most of us run our mouths just however we want to run it. Most of us maybe act before we ever even think about it. And what Paul is saying is this: you need to stop, pause, be careful, and be scrutiny just with extreme detail. How are you going to live? Now, what would happen if you and I, before we made decisions, before we talked, before we acted, if we would just be careful? It would change us, wouldn't it? If we would just be careful, just to think about the end result, what would happen if we actually did this? It would radically change how we live. Now, here's what he says. He says, be careful how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. Why is time important? If we're going to be careful, why does he have to talk about time? Because every one of us, if we live the entire day, we get 24 hours. We don't get 26 hours. We don't get 25 hours. We don't get 24 and a half hours. We get 24 hours. That's all we get. And we usually spend our time, and that's exactly what we do, spend our time. We don't get extra time. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to pay for extra time? Somehow, some way. Hey, can I buy, if we won the lottery, wouldn't that have been nice to win that $1 billion? But they can't buy any more time, can they? No matter how much money, you cannot get any more time. You're given a certain amount of time. And the reality is this: how careful are we with even just our time? Oh, I sat around, what did you do this week? Well, I watched this movie, I watched this, I did that. And then we look at and we're going, well, I don't know if I really was actually careful with how I lived. I just lived. I just had kind of fun. Be careful. Take scrutiny on your time and the way in which you use it, because it matters. You don't get extra time. You don't get to go back to yesterday and change the events of yesterday. You only get today, so be careful. Watch how you use it. Now, watch what he says. He says this: the best use of time. Now, if you have a King James Bible, maybe some of you have that, but there's other versions will use the term redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Now, what is the idea of redeeming? It would have been in the Roman Empire at this time, Paul writes, there would be slave trade. All right, so he basically saying, as if you buy time, as if you went to the slave market, bought a slave, and then you set it free, set him free or she free. He's saying you need to buy your time and be very careful with the attention to what you spend your time reading, thinking about, how you interact, what are you doing with your time? Redeem it, buy it back. And then he says this: because the days are what? Evil. Now, we could argue that our days are extremely evil. And Paul, as he's writing to Ephesus, the church there in Ephesus, he could also argue that their days were extremely evil. Matter of fact, there in Ephesus, there would have been two major temples where there were actually temple prostitutes there, and people would go and worship there in Ephesus. It was a very modern city for the Roman Empire. A lot of trade coming back and forth throughout the entire Roman Empire and beyond would actually come through Ephesus. It was a pagan city at best. They didn't want Christians really to be involved. They really pushed Christians to the outset. So Paul, when he's writing, he's saying, guys, I want you to understand, the days are evil. And when he said the days are evil, they would felt it because they were getting persecuted on every side. They were being shunned on every type of business. They were being pushed aside. So the days are evil. They were feeling it. And here's where it begins to work for us. We feel it too, don't we? All around, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you watch the news, very rarely do people talk about God in a good way. Most of the time, it's either using his name in vain, or they're downplaying God, or they don't even think God exists at all, right? And so it's, if you would take a river and the current, the way the water runs, Paul is saying this: you're in a current of evil. You're surrounded by it. And you're surrounded by it, and here's the temptation: that you're not being careful, that you're not paying attention to it, and that you're surrounded by evil all the time, that it's easy just to kind of pick your feet up and float around in the lazy river of the culture and not pay attention to what you're doing and how you're living and how you're acting and the choices you're making, because we're just caught up. And here's what happens. Because we don't take scrutiny, we begin to just live like everyone else. And we allow the culture to dictate our standards. We allow the culture to say, this is how you should act. This is how you should live. This is what is right. This is what is wrong. Oh, you shouldn't talk about that. Oh, you can't say anything about that. Oh, you should talk about this. These are the only... And we begin to allow the culture to dictate instead of allowing God's word. So Paul says, guys, be careful. Be careful. Everything is against you. Be careful. And then he goes on. He says, okay, here's what you need to do next. Ready? Therefore, verse 17, do not be what? Foolish. Therefore, don't be foolish. I'm so glad Paul writes in a simple language. So he says, don't be dumb. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything foolish. Now, in the Old Testament, the idea of fool is kind of fleshed out for us. And I want to give you just a few verses to help us understand what a fool is. See, a fool is a person who knows what's right and then chooses not to do it. Now watch. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now here's where we could go real easy. Most of us in here, we're here at church because we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, right? And so we sit back and say, well, I've already trusted God, so that can't really apply to me. And here's what I want to show you. At any given moment, at any given time, even though I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I can live foolishly as if God didn't exist. Watch. So when I choose, and I have this choice in front of me to either do right or to do wrong, and I sit around and I know that I'm saved, and I sit around and I look at it and I think about it, and then I look, you know what? I don't really care what the Bible says. I'm just going to do it my way anyway. I'm still going to do this because I want it, because I like it, because it makes me feel good. Whatever it is, I am living as if there is no God. Did you catch it? And so any one of us at any given time, we can play the part of the fool. And here's the hard part. The hard part is this, is that our hearts are so desperately wicked and deceitful that we can even deceive our own selves. Matter of fact, that's another definition of a fool. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Have you ever convinced yourself that something was really good when it really wasn't? And you sat there and you just convinced yourself over and over again. You kept telling yourself, this is right. This is what I should do. This is right. This is right. This is right. I'm doing okay. And the fool in their heart sees that they're right. And yet it's going contrary to what God's word says, or it's going contrary to what other wise people are saying. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14, 9, the fool mocks at sin. 2 Timothy 3, 7 says this, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What a harsh statement. You see, we live in a day and age where we have access on our tablets, on our phones, on our computers. We have so much Bible in front of us. You can turn on the radio as you're driving and you can hear God's word preached by some of the best pulpiteers that have ever lived. And those preachers preach and you hear it and we're surrounded by it. But here's the sad part, is that we can get caught up in learning and learning and learning and learning and learning, and we miss God. And we miss actually allowing it to transform us. And it doesn't transform us. And so we sit there and we've learned so much, but yet we never actually acquired the knowledge of living that out. Do you see it? He says, don't be foolish. Now, I read a funny story this week about a foolish guy. I read it a long time ago and I came back across it. And I wanted to share this with you. It's about Larry Walters. And he was a risk taker who wanted to fly. So he filled 45 weather balloons with helium. Now that's the huge, large weather balloons, all right? So he ties 45 weather balloons, filled them with helium, and he ties them to his lawn chair. And then he dubbed the vehicle, quote, the Inspiration One, end quote. Do you see where this is headed? So his lawn chair is tied down. The 45 weather balloons are filled with helium, are now tied to the chair. Next, he straps himself in with sandwiches, light beer, and a pellet gun. So he is ready to take flight. So he gets ready. He cuts the cord. Larry's plan was to lazily fly up to about 30 feet above his backyard, where he would enjoy a few hours of flight before coming down. Instead, he streaked into the Los Angeles sky as if he was shot from a cannon. After climbing and climbing, he leveled off at 16,000 feet. It's a good thing he was strapped into that lawn chair, right? That's 3 miles up in the air. 3 miles in the air. It's a good thing he has a sandwich too, I guess, right? Eventually, he gathered enough nerve to begin to shoot the balloons down, and he slowly descended. With the hanging balloons tethered, they tangled up and got caught in a power line, and it blacked out over 20 miles of Long Beach, California, residential area. When Larry climbed down to safety, he was arrested by waiting members of the Los Angeles Police Department. And a reporter asked him why he had done it, and Larry replied nonchalantly, "A man just can't sit around." It's easy to see somebody else being foolish, isn't it? It's really easy. And it's a matter of fact, when you say, "Hey, have you ever seen somebody act foolishly or been a fool?" It's easy to point to the person sitting next to you or just right by you and say, or that person across. It's easy to point to a work colleague. But here's the hard and convicting thing, that quite often, because we're not being careful, because we're not looking at our time and taking care of what's going on in our lives, we are being the fool. We have access to God's word. We have access to great resources, and yet we choose not to listen, and it doesn't change us. So Paul then writes, he says, okay, guys, be careful, don't be foolish, and here's what he says last. He says, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? That's one of the top questions that I get asked. Hey, what's the will of God for my life? Hey, what's the will of God? And you sit there and you're having to think through, okay, and you're listening to the story, but here's the will of God. You ready? Here's what he says. He says, here's the will of God. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So he lays out a principle. He lays out this principle, and it's real simple. You ready? The will of God for your life and the will of God for my life first starts with whatever's written in God's word. Did you catch that? That's the will of God. If it's in God's word and this is something we're supposed to be living out, then that's the first step. So instead of just asking, hey, what's the will of God for my life for 2016? Here, what's the will of God for the rest of my life? We have to start first by saying, okay, what's the will of God? And we have to start beginning to align our lives with this book. So if it says something in this book and we're not willing to do it, then we're not really ready to actually have God's will be lived out in our lives. Does it make sense? And then the second part of this is he said this, be filled with the Spirit. Guys, I'm telling you what, this is probably one of the hardest things to be thinking about and constantly working through. You know why? Because it's not just a one-time salvation moment. Being filled with the Spirit is constantly being willing to allow our lives to be aligned with God's word, and then coming to this point of doing this, asking the question, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? And it's not just today. It's now in the next moment. As I walk into this room, what is the next thing that I need to do? What should I say? What is this decision? And so here's the question that begins to change and transform our lives. You ready? The question is this. Not is it right or wrong? Because that right or wrong question, it pushes us to the edge. It pushes us to how close can we get to sin without sinning? And that's the wrong question. The new question is this, what is the wisest thing for me to do? And it's asking the Holy Spirit, what should I do in this moment at this time? And if we're not willing to just start working on the basics of just aligning ourselves, then we're not ever going to hear the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We're going to miss it. See, there's this temptation. There's this temptation. Have you ever been around teenagers or maybe little kids? And they get near a cliff or an edge. Maybe they're on top of a building, and what is the natural tendency when there's a cliff and there's an edge? They all want to go to the edge, right? My son, we were fishing Friday afternoon for just a little bit. We had a little bit of time, and it was funny because he would throw out his line, and then before long, guess where he was standing? right on the edge. And then he starts jumping up and down. He's trying to knock the ground into the water. I'm like, Xander, back up just a little bit. And so then he'd push. I mean, it'd last a minute, you know, and then he's pushing again. And so we were having fun with the conversation. How far can we go without actually falling in? We started playing that game, right? And then we realized if we fell in, we'd be in trouble. So we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do with that. So we're just playing. But the edge is fun. And here's where we don't want to be. Just running our lives without ever going to saying, God, what's my next step here today? In this next conversation, I need you to guard my mouth. In the next conversation, I need your help. Because God, I'm not sure what I want to say and I'm not sure what I want to do, but I'm going to be tempted to. And you just help me. What would happen if you asked that question? What it would do is this. It would transform the way you live, because all day long you now start praying. All day long you're now asking, what's the wisest thing for me to do in this moment? And now you're depending on the Holy Spirit. And it would radically transform our lives if we would be willing to do the hard work of being careful. Don't be foolish. See, here's one of the great things. When you start asking, what's the wisest thing for me to do? And you're asking the Holy Spirit and you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to help you. Those foolish things that you used to do, you stop and it begins to become less and less. So here's where we need to end. Here's where we need to go. If I'm betting right, if you're anything like me, you've had moments when you haven't been careful, and you've had moments where you've been foolish. And now you look back at that, and here's what's devastating about not being careful, whether it's a weekend, maybe being foolish, maybe it's a week long, whatever one-time event, or maybe it's a multiple events. When you live foolishly, it robs you of your future hopes and dreams. Did you catch that? And so maybe there's some in this room today, you're feeling the regret of not walking in the Spirit. Maybe you're feeling the regret of not being careful. So here's what I want to, maybe this is where we need to go first and foremost. What do you do? You can't change the past. You can't change where you've been, what you've done. You can't change it. So do you live in guilt? Or what do you have? What is there any hope? Here's where it starts. You ready? It starts by taking it back to the cross. Take it back to the cross. God, I can't change it. Man, if I could give my life over again, I'd change it. Take it back to the cross. God, here I am. Would you forgive me? And you take it to the cross and you lay it down. And you see how wretched you are, and then you turn around and you see how gracious he is that he forgives. It's an amazing moment. It's an amazing moment. And then you get up from that moment and you say, God, it's my desire. It's my desire from this moment on to be transformed. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk there. And yes, God, I might have to deal with some negative consequences. Yes, I might have to still deal with some of that. But God, I'm willing at this point, from this point forward, I want to be filled with your Spirit. So from this moment on, you begin to change your future. John Maxwell has this statement, and I'm going to finish with this statement. It says, though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new end. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So though you cannot go back and make a brand new start, my friend, anyone can start now and make a brand new end. So let's take those moments of being, not being careful, and let's place it under the blood. Those moments of being foolish, let's place it under the blood today. And then, let's go today, let's go this week, and let's ask, and let's consistently ask to be filled with the Spirit. And let's ask a new question. Holy Spirit, what's the wise thing for me to do in this moment? And if we could do that, we would have a brand new beginning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your goodness. God, I am so amazed at your grace, that God, you would actually still listen to us and talk to us. that you would care for us. And God, I am so thankful that you want to raise us up anew. So, Father, we give you our lives. We ask that you would take this moment, and I pray from this moment on, God, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, I pray.